Alex, we'd like to present you with a little gift, courtesy of the Office of Alumni Affairs. You've been very much a part of our history, and we just want to appreciate you and tell you how honored and privileged we feel that you've given us this opportunity to come talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much. The pleasure is all mine.
Thank you.
I was delighted to know that my fellow sisters, although years apart, still think of me.
And Mrs. Clark, we just want to take about 30 minutes or so to just pick your brain for a little bit and just to have you tell us all about your wonderful life.
Happy picking.
Yes, ma'am. We are a part of the CIS Oral History Project with Spelman College. My name is Lakia Williams. I'm a graduating senior from Spelman College. And I'm from Philadelphia.
My name is April.
Philadelphia.
Yes, ma'am.
That's where I spent several years of my life.
Yes, ma'am.
When I attended Brenmar College, did my postgraduate work in sociology.
Well, I'm April Cadell. I'm from Tuskegee, Alabama, and I'm a junior at Spelman College.
That's a wonderful school. All famous people have to go to that school, if you'd call it again.
Tuskegee or Spelman?
Uh-huh.
Spelman.
I thought you said Tuskegee.
Well, I'm from Tuskegee, Alabama.
Hi.
One summer. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just going to tell you my name. My name is Brittany Davaway, and I'm from Los Angeles, California, and I'm a graduating senior as well.
Great.
I'm Mia Dunlap, and I'm from Chicago, and I'm a graduating senior.
The city of my childhood days, anyway. My uncle and aunt live there. My mother's youngest brother. He died. He came here because his family died out. And he lived with me the last 8 years of his life because he needed someone to look after him other than just a nursing home. And we had lots of fun. He lived to be 105 years.
Wow. And I'm Kike Weaver. I'm from Nigeria, and I'm a sophomore.
Nigeria. My hope is to get to your home. Mm-hmm. We were to go, but my mother, my sister, myself were in Alaska, and our next trip after that summer was to have been Nigeria. But unfortunately, my sister passed, and I never did get to Nigeria.
You still have time. I said, there's still a lot of time to get there.
There's time, but I need the time.
All right, Ms. Clark, how is it that you left your hometown of Mendel, Louisiana to go to Spelman College?
Because in the early days of the South, after all, remember, if I was born in 1909, we hadn't been, and our families had not been freed long. And I'm just from one of the second generation of slavery. All my grandparents were slaves, and my father and mother paid and just didn't say that he had just right after freedom. And naturally, if we were free, you couldn't have schools like you had today, Father, for black. They had schools for white only in the beginning. But my grandfather said, these children got to be educated. They're Americans. He didn't have the Afro as we do today, Afro-Americans. He said, they are Americans. And they got to live in the country and be ready and prepared to show their worth and prove that they are just as good in the cabinet of the president, and we are there now, as they are in the slavery, in the context. And because their schools are so poor, my mother wanted me to have better advantage than I could get there. I was the first child, so I taught the worst of the school of the South. The school in South Louisiana down here, if I'm telling them too long, they let me know. The schools in South Louisiana were much better than the schools in North Louisiana. Schools in North Louisiana were very poor. Lots of children didn't get to go to school but 2 months in the year because the white man at that time wanted them in the cotton patch, so they bring in big crops and live in style. That ain't true anymore, as you know. We had success with it, broken down every barrier. Now, supposed to have schools equal to the white school. Did that answer your question?
Yes, you did. Will you tell me more about your Spelman experience?
Oh, Spelman, the wonderland. My mother had really planned to send me to Bishop College in Marshall, Texas, because my mother was reared in Marshall, Texas. My father, my grandfather, Dave Abner, was a large landholder in Texas. I don't recall the county right now. If it's important, I can't get the name of the county for you in men. When he heard the first day that his master announced that the slaves are free, he already knew. You know, word of mouth. He heard different slaves would get the news and tell the other ones. And so he was aware that they were free. They didn't get the word until June, although we were free in January, isn't it? And when your question was?
Tell me about your Spelman experience.
Why my mother selected Spelman is what I'm trying to tell you. She wanted me to have a good school. Grandmother died in the heavy epidemic of flu in the 1919. My youngest brother was a baby in her arms. And so she, well, then he's 90. He's in 90 now, I think. I remember so vividly when they called on the phone to Menden for her to come and watch. Her mother was gravely ill because very few people survived the flu. You've heard about it, Anne, when that flu epidemic went through and killed so many thousands of people. I never will forget. She took me, because the baby had to have a nurse. So she took me to nurse, you know, take care of my little brother while she took care of her sick mother. And I remember when we changed trains in Shreveport, you know Shreveport, you all passed through that. You came from Atlanta and you crossed the River Jackson. You didn't come through Marshall this morning. But anyway, we went through Shreveport trying to get to Marshall to see about my grandmother. Oh, the caskets were packed up to his feet, and I was a child, 9 years old. And I remember those caskets. I said, Mama, why so many caskets? She said, baby, some of them not even caskets, they're just boxes, because they have buried so many people. They don't have enough caskets to get the bodies out in time. And I remember Mama, as soon as she got there, she could see my grandmother wasn't going to make it, because they would be so sick. And she called her friend in Marshall, who happened to be have a funeral home, and told her, you just say it, put aside a casket for my grandmother. And she did get to be buried in a casket. Can you hear very clearly?
Yes, ma'am.
Over there.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
It's important to get on back. I think that answers your question.
So when you finally got to Spelman, did you like it?
It was all right. Mama took me. See, I was 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And in those days, Spelman had a high school, a laboratory high school, for their teachers who were, practice to teach it, to do their practice work, just like Southern has at this time, Southern Labs Laboratory Practice School. And Mama heard it was inquiring everywhere where you could get a young child in like that who still need a lot of mothering away from her family and away from home. She was just so horrified at the limited advantages that I had. And then inquiring, somebody told her about Spelman. But she immediately wrote Spelman and got all of the necessary information, filled out the application as soon as it arrived, and mailed it back and, to Spelman. So that's how my mother read about Spelman. And when she took me, oh, I was excited. Oh, so excited. I remember my little dress, you know. You remember the little, you're talking about the, you remember. the ones of the Boston blouse. They have deep hems and a blousy blouse,
mm-hmm.
And a sailor collar.
Oh, you were sure. Yes, ma'am.
And I was very small. You wouldn't believe it now. I sure do these pants. I was very, very small. She had one friend out there. I don't know if she'd met somewhere. She wrote to her, and you know we couldn't stay in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that she couldn't stay in a hotel because of it, no integration at that time. And it Finn made her welcome to Cummins. I think she met her in Austin, Texas, when she was down sick, and her brother came to Minden and carried her. Her brother was a practicing physician. And he came and carried her to Austin to have a third exam and find out why she stayed sick all the time. And they found out. And in the meantime, Mother took me to my grandmother's to live. And she left my little sister, who was a baby, but I always see my sister's picture sitting on my father's arm, but that's because my mother was sick and he was. But my daddy had to do most of the caring for her. And he hired a lady, a cousin of ours from the rural, to come up and, take care of the baby. Because he was preached to, he was a pastor. He finished Bishop College School of Theology for Ministers. And he was pastoring the church there in Memphis. And he had to have help with the children because it was necessary for him to get out to do his work. Now, did that answer?
Yes, ma'am, it sure does. And while you were at Spelman, what was your favorite subject in high school?
I don't know. I studied one by as hard as I studied the other.
Mm-hmm.
And one I had to study, I just thought was so foolish.
Which one was that?
Latin.
Latin.
I said, never speaking in my life. I'd have to sit here worrying with all of this. Nobody know what I'm talking about. Everybody think I'm crazy. Let me see. But I already liked the social studies better. I was very good in mathematics because my father was excellent in mathematics, and I happened to inherit that trait from him. But I wasn't necessarily so fond of the math. I could do it. It was easy. And made my way easy in a lot of places in life. So a lot of the people didn't like it. And when I got to these larger schools, and the girls in particular couldn't do it, and I could just do it so fast, and that helped me cut my way through these schools in a hurry. So math was my subject to get myself advanced in a hurry. But I was always behind because, you see, I went to Spelman in grade school. I was in sixth grade. Now, they were behind because of those short terms. And I couldn't write words of continent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could not write. Mm-hmm. But I'll always be appreciative to Spelman. They made me take writing. Do they not teach that anymore?
Oh, no, it's still mandatory that we take and get a B or better in English composition.
Really?
They still have this writing.
Well, that's one of their good points. Because when I left there, I could write as well as anybody. Well, believe it or not, it's gone back to the scribble.
Oh.
Oh, I can't get that pencil right anymore. You know, your nerves. Huh? Don't hold law forever. So my nerves slip tricked up on me. And some days I write there. Other days you think an infant wrote.
Ms. mm-hmm. Clark, do you have a favorite professor or teacher from Spelman?
Really, I can't say they were all good.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they seem to have liked me. And I guess the one that I have a lot of respect, well, I have a lot of respect for each one because it was necessary that I learned those basics, which I didn't know, which I was behind in. And most of the children out in Atlanta were far better than I was because they had not had the disadvantage of not having full-term schools like I had come from. But I don't know which teacher. All of them helped me to straighten up and fly right. All of them. But my high school advisor is the cause of me not going to college as well. And I don't mean that she had anything against me, But she says, I'm going to tell you the truth. I think you have been over-sheltered. You come from a small country town where your father was a minister and your mother was a teacher. And everybody had their eyes on the preacher and the teacher's daughter. And your parents were going to be anxious that they see about you and that you set an example and not having come home, have all the children talk about that teacher's child and the worst child in the class. And here at Spelman, Spelman didn't like Spelman was out of there. You all had good times. We did too, but in a different way. she said, you're very sheltered. If I wanted to go from Rockefeller Hall to another dormitory, I had to get a note from my hall matron to cross the campus, you know, after dark. Mm-hmm. But that was good. That was good. And she said, having been over-sheltered all your life, you're just not going to handle a school like Columbia University. Mm-hmm. She didn't mean in grade-wise. She meant behavior-wise. You just need to be in a small cottage, well organized, and highly supervised, much more so than like Northwestern University in Cleveland, isn't it?
Yes, Northwestern University? Chicago.
Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a Western University. There's a Western Reserve.
I'm not sure.
Oh, well, I'm kind of good. There's a Western something in Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
Ohio. She said, and I wouldn't advise you going to select one of those large schools where nobody hardly knows you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you still need help. I said, I realized that. But she meant help more in relating myself to people and really making sure that I had set my own standards of what good is and what evil is and that I had courage enough to stand up for the good regardless of what the others were doing. If it wasn't, it didn't have to be wise for me because it was wise for them. It'd be very, some of it could be very unwise. And I find that to be true. You know, you have found that out, I guess, in your limited lives. Hmm. You have to know how to make your decisions and stand up for your beliefs. And because naturally, many of our beliefs are based on our parents. Before us. I hope that answered that question. Mm-hmm.
Oh no, you did great. Perfect.
Ms. Clark, go ahead. While you were at Spelman, did you make a lot of friends?
Oh well, I call them friends. I've been in my class.
It's wonderful.
And I was salutatorian.
Oh, yeah.
Of the class. And I would have been valedictorian. But they had regulations in Spelman that I thought at that time was a little unfair. But I wasn't the president, not in industry to stare. See, they had to lick out some spam and trying to get people who would be read about in many places. And I guess they figured weren't many people going to read about Mendler. That's my little town. This girl was brilliant. Nobody could challenge her brilliancy. But my class didn't like it. I hope you all won't mention this when I shouldn't have told it. I'm not giving any of the criticism. Because I deal in hell spell. The class got angry and wanted to start confusion. Almost little rabbits. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there were some big things to do. And I had a time with them. I said, we don't own family. And the decision has been made. Our parents have paid the money. And I'm going to graduate whatever I am. Mm-hmm. on what they say. And what I am will hold up for itself wherever I go. And I said, please don't go in there and cause to speak to servants and writers. But I think they liked me. Because they grabbed me and took me and put me on the shoulder. They want to have a big mess. We always had to have something big, you know. A show off, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But it was straightened out. And the little girl, young lady who was valedictorian, she didn't come in. The first of the year of the senior year. She came in the second semester of the senior year. And how could you compare her from her work with any student in Spamberg who had been, I had been there 8 years. Don't mention that in, I am so forgetful. I said I'm gonna not tell, not gonna tell it. Because I forgot about this writer. Don't put it in the paper.
We won't. And we can edit as you would like us to.
But thank you for sharing it anyway. We'll take it out.
Yeah, take that out.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't want that. To go down in history.
Okay.
My feelings did not need to be known. I didn't personally challenge it. And I was telling the truth. I said that girl has a problem that she may just need more help than I have. And she did. She had a sick mother. And she had to get up every morning. Her mother was bedridden. I don't mean sick in a chair. I mean bedridden mother. She had to get up and dress and take care of every morning before she would come to school. Go back home and do the same thing every day. And why they decided to move to Atlanta, I don't know. Maybe she was encouraged to move there to get this honor, which gave her a high opinion of herself, which is good. I think she's deceased now. Her name was Ida Miller.
Ms. Clark, after leaving Spelman, how did you get to Bryn Mawr? How did you come to go to Bryn Mawr?
I went to Oberlin.
Oberlin, sorry.
I told you this teacher told me she thought I should go to a small school.
Mm-hmm.
no more. She's 14,000 or 15,000. No, nowhere where you get in 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people. And you don't, nobody knows, you become a number. And I just get lost. That's about the only answer I have.
Okay. Did you like it at Oberlin?
Yes. It was just like she told me. There were so few they had in Tutu. I think there were 40. After 16,000, there were 40 blacks.
Wow.
At that time.
Ms. Clark, at 102, you're looking radiant, beautiful, and elegant. Can you tell us a secret to your longevity?
Oh. The Lord in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. I could not have lengthened my... He they're knowledgeable people, like nurses and doctors and food nutritionists and who else, all those kind of people, to work hard and study to find what is best for us and for our bodies. And somehow I just lucky wherever I go and find good things. Somewhere along the way. Well, I love public hygiene. Public health hygiene. And I just read books on that. Mm-hmm. I like to work in the YWCA. And I do projects, seminars on safety subjects, mm-hmm. one subject at a time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that they would ask me to, you know, when we come home and they come and they leave for free help. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they give you a little change too.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And from time to time, I have, the most fascinating one I've done is for 2 years, after I retired. I was 80 years old when I retired.
Wow.
Was I? But I was 80 when she called me up there. I had been retired. I was retired. I wasn't 80 when I retired, but I had been retired and gone up to 80 just like now. They call me, I'd be retired. I mean, he'd be retired longer than I was. I did have the little trick of forgetting what I was telling you.
I was asking about the secret to your longevity.
Mm-hmm. Along the way, I just picked up knowledge. I said, it's the Lord's doing. Because if he hadn't given me a certain type of body, I wouldn't be here. My people are all dead except one brother. Most of everyone in my father's family died of brain stroke. Mm-hmm. My father died. He preached a sermon, and as he was coming down, after he died, he had come out of the pulpit, down to receive candidates. I don't know what you are, Baptist Methodist, mm-hmm. but they mostly all come down out of the pulpit. He started down out of the pulpit, and one of the deacons, nobody said it, he kind of, you rolled, you know, mm-hmm. instead of walking straight, he was rolling down the stairs. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to dig in his pocket. He was trying to get an aspirin right quick. Mm-hmm. But he didn't make it. He fell. And So that family, his mother, I learned, died that same way, mm-hmm. with a stroke. And his sister, she down here. She died. It was some kind of quarantine fever. I think they said it was yellow fever. I said he didn't have to die. I said they had to die. Because even my father, they at the time of his death they had not discovered anything to control your blood pressure except the alpha sweets. Don't eat fat meats. That's about all he knew. Mm-hmm. And I kept catching eat a little piece. He said, oh, you didn't have to look at that. But by the time I reached 30, I went to the doctor and he said, my pressure's a little high. I said, it is. I said, give him a pill. He said, I don't start pill here, they say early. Wait a while. I say, wait, it's too late. I want it now. And he said, oh no. I said, doctor, I want my pill now. I don't mean to die because there was something I could have taken and lived. And I've been on that same little black pill I've taken it every morning in my life since I was 30 years old. And
so it did something right. Right. That was the right thing to do.
Can't prove to me that was the right thing to do.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
you can't prove. My brother made, my baby brother has made it. He's nine. I'm 9 years old and he is. How old is he?
He is
89, 90.
93.
Mm-hmm. You're 9 years older than he is.
Mm-hmm.
So he should be
93. He's 93. And we're the last two. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think just by inquiring back in your family's history, and I found out my father's father died from bladder, some type of bladder trouble. I went to the doctor, and I was in my 30s. I want some medicine from I didn't take it every year like that, but it's been kept under control.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful to know, Mrs. Clark. And we just want to know, what makes you happy? What puts a smile on your face?
What puts a smile on my face?
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of things. What do you mean? You want to know? We all are happy with things going well. Mm-hmm. And if you can keep things going well, and I learned if you get into arguments too often, you better kind of look at yourself too. Mm-hmm. And find out what I do to make people do me that. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know how often I've been finding much.
Oh, no. No, you've been smiling the whole time, so I guess this makes you happy, too. Yeah. You smile the whole time. Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Clark, you shared so much wisdom with us. If you could tell other Spelman students anything that they should know that you learned from your life, what would you tell them?
The key is to know your own body early. Mm-hmm. and give strength to the weak part. And don't abuse the good part. That, I think that is up to me. A long time. Because I really took care of just a simple little thing. Like in school. I'm going to tell you some jokes on Spelman now.
Okay.
My hair can be a lot. Miss Chaplin, you know her. You know her. You see that picture there.
What's her name again?
Chaplin.
Yes, yes.
First president.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Her name? There was a certain degree that thermometer went to. She called us into the chapel. We didn't have the fine chapel that you have now. Mm-hmm. Wherever the gathering place was, she called us in. Today is the day for your union suits. Do you know what a union suit is?
No, ma'am.
Long draws.
Oh, okay.
You know how long the draws are?
How long?
Down to your ankle.
Okay.
Was it getting cold?
Huh? Oh, it used to get cold. Mm-hmm. Oh, those trees just be hanging with nice long icicles. Mm-hmm. They don't do that, but it isn't cold down here like it was. It wasn't as cold here as it was in Belmont. But Belmont used to be a cold place. Mm-hmm. So, and she told me to put on my union, let's have it on my union. But you know, you heard me fussing out, he didn't want to break me out, I didn't want to get the catch him.
Oh.
I don't take sudden changes in temperature very well. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I just can't say all the little things. Just have to know your body and what it reacts to adversely. Mm-hmm. And try to keep out of the way of those things. Or get help and straighten it to the point it can survive in spite of the situation. Mm-hmm. And I'll see if I can think of another joke. Was that a joke?
That was a very good joke.
But you didn't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Your long drive.
And Mrs. Clark, we'll have to remember that when it gets cold, we need to put on our union suits. We'll never forget that. We never will.
Get your union suit. The president called us and announced getting your union suit. Mm-hmm. And we put them on. And we wore six-sided shoes. Mm-hmm. What are those shoes? Pumps. Aren't they you lace up,
yes ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I remember when I get in my union suits and my six-sided pumps. Sure did help me stay well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
And what else? My long knit underskirt that my mother bought for me. Mm-hmm. What else? Well, to make a long story short, I just say the same thing over. Know your body, weakness, and try to follow a course to strengthen it. And I firmly believe that blood pressure medicine is a large reason for my being here in as good a condition as I am. Because mm-hmm. I'm a little lame now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where I slipped up on that. I went to the doctor early, but they couldn't find it. I started out by dragging a leg. Mm-hmm. That's the man I'm going to use this. Mm-hmm. By dragging his leg. But that's, I tell him, I drag it, but it doesn't hate me. That's all I care. It doesn't hate. Mm-hmm. But if you get the arthritis, ooh, it hurts so bad. I wouldn't know any other idea but to trust in the Lord and learn all I can about, you know, the care, proper care of your body. And know when their body seems to be going a little abnormal, get with it right away.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. And that is great advice. It really is. Mm-hmm. And we want to just take this time to thank you so very much for sharing this time with us. It's been priceless. We can pay you all the tea in China for what you've given us today. We want to just say thank you.
Oh, I appreciate your coming.
I've had an audience.
No. It reminds me of it, and I'll take all advantage, take advantages of opportunities.
Yes, ma'am.
For self-growth. I remember my first big audience was in high school. I can't even remember the name of it. My big organization, but they had contest writing. Mm-hmm. And they have them still, don't they?
Yes, ma'am.
And I wrote my contest. I wrote my essay. Mm-hmm. And I went and found me some professors and got them to organize the contest committee.
Oh, wow.
And they would practice me, you know. I would come out and say my speech to them as if I was the president of a
state. That's it.
And from that, that's where I got my start, not being afraid to go in front of the public.
That's wonderful. That is truly wonderful. Thank you so much, Mrs. Clark.
Thank you
so much.
Oh, I just did the twisted one.
All of us. I get twisted.
Yeah, he told us about, he made her get on the train, and he gave her a certain amount of time to get on that train. He had been engaged to her for a long time. And he said, if you're not on that train, I got to go.
Aww.
She said, guess what? I hopped on that train, and I had cake. I baked him a cake.
That's pretty good.
I've been engaged to you 7 years.
Wow. That's why she was like, I think I
kind of
outdid my time.
See, when I finished high school, he went and asked my mother. Mm-hmm. You know what to ask. And she said, I think you're a man. And when she has completed her schoolwork, she didn't say what schoolwork. we will consider it. So she was smart enough not to say what school, which schoolwork. And every time he would say, when is the wedding day? I said, oh, it's just as soon as I go to such and such a place and finish such and such. So see, that was Oberlin. Wait, now there was Spelman first. Mm-hmm. And then there was Oberlin. Then there was Brenner. Mm-hmm. And when I said Columbia, he said, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I have waited 7 years.
Did anybody else want any coffee?
Oh,
okay,
thank you.
But anyway, it was
going to be awesome. Mrs. Clark, why did you transfer from Oberlin to Bryn Mawr?
Oh, I had a nice a fellowship at All Banks Ministry.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
So, I thought it was nice to relieve my parents,
mm-hmm.
and I had them pay my expenses. They sent my board and room directly to the house that I would live in. At that time, see, they were the National Labor League was trying to integrate the schools along the coast,
mm-hmm.
and I was sent there to integrate them.
Oh, okay. Wow. What were your experiences like there, and as a part of integration?
I found that they were, I'm talking about the schools all along, Oberlin included.
Mm.
Those areas were as integrated as we were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about the private schools. I didn't go to them. I'm talking about the colleges. I tell you, they had 16,000 at Oberlin, and only 40 colored, black.
16,040.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to be called? Negro, African American, black? What do you prefer? Or what don't you like?
When they got it down to black, Afro American, you can call me any of them you want.
You don't have a preference?
No.
No.
But not Negro, right?
Beg pardon?
Negro?
Afro-American?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to be called a... No, because white people can't say Negro.
She told you that in an interview.
She thought.
Yes, and that's true. Because Negro comes out Negro. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
And some of them really don't mean it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't mean to offend you. That's the way they pronounce it.
Mrs. Clark, do you know the census this year wrote Negro on it?
Mm.
And people are mad about it.
Mm.
The census?
And we got angry?
Mm-hmm. Because it says Negro on it again.
And we aren't Negro. We don't want to be Negroes. I didn't include Negro, did I? That's the one I hate. Because everywhere you're a nigger. I found my mother so distressed walking back and forth in the yard. She said, I go to town. Waiting for me to come back. Well, she said, she told I wasn't going to tell those white folks, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And she wasn't going to tell me to tell them. I managed to live through it and get out of there.
Did you ask her what was her worst experience with? I said she's opened up on segregation and concerning the that was.
Mrs. Clark?
Did you change it? The blacks of the... We got angry. Did they change it?
On Negro on the census?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. They didn't change it. Did they? It's still there.
You don't have a napkin, do you?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
You do?
Here you go. Here you are, right here.
Hmm? I had one. I put it down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I sat on a chair in there for you. Mrs. Clark?
No, I didn't have one.
What was one of your worst experiences during segregation?
Well, I was determined to be a freak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a lot of white friends. Oh, that. Not in my hometown. I mean, no school. And I went to Cleveland a lot to associate with some of the white friends, and as well as the colored. And one of my best white friends said, "I'm going home with you, or you go home."
Hmm.
I said, "Oh, that would be fine." And then I thought, I said, "That would be fine." I said, "But I had to tell you the truth. I don't know whether you'd be accepted." I didn't mean about my people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the community would accept you, the white community.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Why?" I said, "Well, you say you're white, but you might have to prove it."
Yeah.
Now that is something to tell about.
Mm-hmm.
I got to just be frank.
Wow.
I said, "You might have to prove it." She said, "The white needs to do that." I said, "You might be a little uncomfortable and while you're waiting." She said, "You make it a challenge, and I really don't want to go now." And this isn't going in the
archives, no.
Mm-hmm.
Secret. Nobody will hear this except the students.
Mm-hmm.
We promise.
Mm-hmm. So, I said, "Well, I'm good to game as you are. Let's try it." So we sat down and planned our trip. I know I wrote home and asked my mother. And she said, "Well, you know how it is." She said, "But I'm game too." She said, "And I'm not going to ask them either to start out with having to get permission for you to bring your friends home. I think I'll eat mine a little later." And I said, "All right." So we say, "Well, we don't want to get killed on the way." And I said, "I tell you, we're going in your car." I didn't have one. They need to go ahead. I didn't have one. I had it at home, but my family couldn't afford a car for me and pay all that board and room and make that arrangement. And of course, the last year, they were paying it, but I didn't have a job to buy my own car. I had to wait until I finished to get the money. When we said we leave Columbia and we go straight down, we leave Cleveland, go straight down Columbia,
mm-hmm,
to Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio. And from there on into Indiana. I said, "Uh-huh, you don't catch me." I didn't tell her that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting game. I said, "Well, I tell you what, if it gets too hot along the way, I'm going to take me a maid's uniform." So I rather wear a beige uniform and have my knees hanging from a tree.
Mm. Wow.
try putting a nice uniform. Mm-hmm. And I'm your mate. If it gets too hot on you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
And we had friends posted to write back and tell what a wonderful young lady this maid has proven to be.
Wow.
But we didn't have them written. Mm-hmm. We spotted out the people we were going to get to write. Mm-hmm. If they were in jail down there trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
If we were in jail trying to get out.
Mrs. Clark, how were you affected by Hurricane Katrina?
Good for me, it might have been. It's bad for my children. They lost everything they had. That storm, see, my son's school is in Hilton, New
Orleans.
Gary.
Yeah.
They asked me how was I affected by Katrina.
You guys were hit harder by Katrina.
By Katrina? Mm. Oh.
I told them, good for me, but sad for you all.
It was what?
Good for me, but sad for you all.
Yeah.
They had to. They didn't have any home. All they had was the clothes on their back. The furniture just all washed out. They don't know where. Did you find anything?
Nothing.
And he had what, something like what he had on there.
And, excuse me, we wouldn't move anyway. I had everything. I would have bought, packed the whole bit.
Wow.
So we wouldn't sell the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's amazing. And we had purchased some property directly across from the Columbia University. And it was my goal to just walk 9 feet to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in my remaining years at the university, I would just walk to work and be there and have mother come down the north and live with us. Mm-hmm. So y'all life is, the storm came, and so now I drive 90 miles as opposed to 90 feet, and now we living with her.
Wow.
I mean, that's how ironic life is.
Yeah. Wow.
When you plan, and all the good planning, is that, but things can flip. But yeah, we lost our house. We were, our house was one story, and it was 9 feet of water in the house for 2 weeks. And we were like 6 blocks from the lake. And so it was completely destroyed. So we sold our house. We sold it to the state. Mm-hmm. And so it's.
What street was your house? I'm taking them to the lake behind.
Okay.
Yes.
We were on Active in Legion Field. You already know about Legion Field.
Right.
So we were on Active Street.
Okay.
Active is one block from Prentice. That's the major street.
Right.
Prentice is the major street.
Right.
And so it's safe. Mayfield Catholic Church. Yeah, so when you make all the good planning, but it's good to have a place to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you went about 90 feet.
We went about 90 feet to work because we got to work at Carlton University.
Right, and your mother was going to stay.
Yeah, that's right.
And now you have to drive 90 miles.
Right. And so that's a nature of life.
It really is.
But even though I still have an apartment there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I still prefer to come with.
I told him they both had been good children, because the Bible said, obey your mother and the father, that your land, your life may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God has given you. So he obeyed, and he just came back home for nothing.
You were good to your mother. She and her mother was in her 90s. They were traveling through the Orient. They would go to
Mexico,
Japan.
Wow.
Alaska.
The Holy Land, all of that. Her mother was in her 90s and they would travel like that. So they, wow. Now mother wants to go to a trip. She wants to go to, my granddaughter, my daughter wants to go to Australia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's what she wants. That was
if I can ever walk again, you know, I don't mean I can't walk, but if I do better than I do now. Mm-hmm. But my friend up the street, that may be Aisha, she told me, girl, you have to do this when the time comes. My time has come. Little Gaither. She was to go to Alaska, and my other friend, Doris Thompson, the three of us were to go to Alaska. And I said, geez, we don't know anybody on that trip. And you in a wheelchair, and suppose I got in one, I could walk pretty good then. And I said, yeah, and Doc is already just practicing more. Mm-hmm. What you going to do? She said, the Lord will provide. And so,
in my life, you know.
What did she say?
I've always been religious.
Oh, my mother.
Have you
always been religious?
Well, yes, that's my life. I told them, if you want to live long, trust in the Lord, didn't
I? Mm-hmm. You told them that. You sure did.
And study your bodies carefully to find out how you should be treated.
I would go to the, remember how I would go to the Baptist encampments, mother? Mm-hmm. I would go to the Baptist youth encampments for a week. All you, 5 o'clock in the morning. sometimes you can get so much that it can drain you.
But we both.
Yeah. So
I haven't been very functional in my church in a year now. But I'm going to, May had promised me she would help me on Sunday. If I don't take any more than the first Sunday, I'm going to be there.
Mm-hmm. She was chairman of the deacons for how many years?
Wow.
About the deacons? 45.
Deacon. Wow.
But I resigned. Mm-hmm. I did it not because they asked me to, but not because I was dissatisfied, nor were they. They appeared to be satisfied. But I say, here I am, an old woman, had this privilege 40-some years. And there are all these younger women behind me. They would like the same experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not going to sit up here and hold it just because I live, because I don't know when I'm going to die. I've been out about, how long?
3 years.
It's a little old 3 years.
I mean, he quite
when he retired, I resigned.
So, I mean, who retired?
Reverend Timothy.
Oh, okay. I guess that's about,
I don't think it's
5 years. Mm.
To hold a position just because you can live.
And
yeah,
he's the president of Baptist. When you wrote that letter, you all wrote the letter to Governor Edwards. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a letter back to you all and said, you women need to mind your own business.
Oh!
The governor said, you women need to just mind your own business. Don't worry about this particular issue. Oh.
I know. And we said, now, He wishes we could be in position to mind his.
Oh, that's right.
He's in prison now.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
We've been collecting wise sayings during our stay, and that's one that I learned.
He wishes we could be in position to mind his. Oh.
So I feel sorry for him, even if he was big. He never did us any. I mean, he never did the black, you know, any harm.
He alone was a big governor. That's what it says in the state of
Louisiana. Right,
right. Not for black people. And
well, he helped blacks. He would help the blacks. And
poor whites.
Right. In fact, he would say he was the one that made blacks. He said blacks need to have free textbooks. He said they need to read. You don't want them in your kitchen not knowing how to read. That was his way. Then he had another thing. And then he had another thing when he said his brother Earl became governor, and Earl opened up charity hospitals for black nurses. And Earl said, and the way he did it was the most curious thing. He told the whites, he said, can you imagine those pretty white women nurses turning over those big black men in the hospital?
Oh, my.
So that was his
way. That's just him.
So then they integrated and brought in the black nurses.
Wow.
So that was his way of integrating.
That's interesting.
And Huey Long made a statement once. He said that there you could take one loaf of bread and feed every purebred white person in the state of Louisiana with one loaf of bread.
Purebred.
Yeah, because all whites have some of us, and all of us have some of them in us in Louisiana. Mm. He said, so you can't be hard on the niggas.
One loaf of bread.
And that's what Richard Pryor said. Richard Pryor said Louisiana has the whitest black people and the blackest white people.
It's a very different state from Georgia. Alabama.
It's different than the South.
It is. It's just very, very different.
Yeah.
When did you say students?
Tuskegee.
It's very different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can feel the difference as soon as you get off the plane. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a different energy.
Not the morning was my department.
Lawrence Moreland.
And Maryland Davis.
Maryland Davis.
Tell us how you met Dr. Clark. Oh, great. We came to Spelman together.
Wow.
That's when Stewart was president.
Right.
The women's issues in the area, they were strong.
Yeah.
Breakfast.
Oh. It's something else now. That was when we were coming out. We were Sage. We were doing the first issue of Sage, and then we had the women's focus group. It's really a center now.
Oh yeah, I was there last year for I took two students on Dillard for Project Paraclete we do and we met at the Bonner Scholars.
Mm-hmm. Bonner.
Bonner.
You're Bonner.
Your
mom?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Were you there?
Thank you. I'm a bonus scholar.
Yeah, that was a girl. I remember she was really impressive. She was a political science major from Bowie, from Bowie, Maryland. And I remember correctly. Yeah, she was real good. Had a bunch of good kids. Yeah, I like the bonus scholar program.
I didn't know you were
honest. You like it?
Yeah, I love it.
It's an engagement.
Yes,
you
hear it all the time.
You know, I never did finish telling you the story.
Love story, I'll tell you that kind of love story, right?
Oh,
Which story?
I'm about to have a trip. We started south. Oh, well, I told you, I found out that there was as much immigration in the borderline states, I mean segregation. So that's why I also told you I went to a National Urban League, paid my way to Bryn Mawr in order to break up, to get white and put black together in the school. And we managed to get along. She'd go in the white. I told her about my uniform, I'd be her maid. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to wear it. Mm-hmm. She managed to get a room in the white YWCA. Mm-hmm. And we'd be in the room together. Nothing spectacular. Finally, we got to London. Not home. Mm-hmm. And Marla had a delicious dinner outfit, she did. We all said, I need dinner together. Everything seemed to be going all right. Then we'd get up and take trips to other towns, the two of us. Go over to Marshall to see the city there, the old colleges and whatnot. And we'd go to all around to the country villages. And she was collecting souvenir items, you know, from like cowhide covered chairs. The seats and chairs were made out of cowhide. And coffee grinding meals, mm-hmm, and wash bowls. See, they had dryers and wash tubs. Mm-hmm. Electrical. And so she had an interest in these things, and she's collecting them. And we'd get home before dark each day and have dinner, and she'd go on down to the hotel and say nothing was happening, and we thought we were getting off with it. So that Friday night, my daddy, when I got home, I could see there was something different in the atmosphere at the house. I didn't know what it was, but Mama got me off right quick and said, you got to get out of town. You got to get out of town. The policeman came down here today and said, they're on him. Said,
everybody's okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Everything was absolutely wonderful.
I'm glad you all enjoyed. May I offer something else?
Nothing had happened. But Obama said, policeman came today. He said, Jerry, said, you know, I don't care, she can stay here forever. But I said, but I gotta live here too. and these folks gonna run me out of town if you don't get her out of town. Talking about not me, my visit. Mm-hmm. So before they have any kind of uprising, I'd advise you to get out of town. But my papa told me, you don't have to tell me twice. Mm-hmm. So, and when I went back and told her, she said, I've been waiting for it. I just been waiting for it. Let my coffee get cold. So that's the way it ended.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
At least we were on our way. But you know who did it?
Who did?
A colored man did it.
Mm.
We saw him coming up to the house. He hadn't been coming up to the house, trying to find something to save almost every eating time.
Mm.
And he went down there and told him, she's up there eating. At the dining room table with them.
Wow.
We can treat you not a nice dirty.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You kept his mouth.
Mrs. Clark, we're going to come back next year to see you again. Oh. This has been such a wonderful experience.
It's been a pleasure. Yes, it has.
You all are what great. Classification.
I'm in my last year.
Senior.
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 Junior.
Sophomore.
And the other who's not in here right now is a senior too.
Oh, y'all have to come over and visit me when your class reunion.
Yes, ma'am. She does road trip to Baton Rouge.
You tell me how special she is.
She's very, very, very special. And I remember when I was young, one of the first stories she has, things she taught me was a simple poem. And when I was getting ready to go to kindergarten, she said, you got to remember this poem. If you remember this, you'll be okay. She said, know many, trust few, and learn to paddle your own canoe.
Oh.
And it's simple and it's basic, and it's also real. Remember that, mother?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, know many, trust few, and learn to paddle your own canoe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the world is. And if you like that, you can be successful. And then there was another story, and I know we all know this story about the little engine that could.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can, I think I can. You just do what you need to do, and you'll be successful in life.
Oh, I was a speaking joke. Graduation from kindergarten.
That's right.
Oh,
that, Reverend James Presbyterian kindergarten.
Yeah, that I told that to the third. Everybody loved that to the children. I know it. You all are learning that story. You have. You
yes, ma'am.
I just love it.
And Dr. Clark was also telling.
That's the tape recorder. That's the tape recorder. Where we're recording the interview.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. What did I play though?
Oh, no, that's for them.
Oh, no, this is for us.
Thank you. Oh, I've been destroyed.
Oh, no. Oh, no, this is good stuff.
And Dr. Clark, would you share with the students one of your mother's favorite Spelman stories?
Spelman, and she told me that going to Spelman, because I taught Spelman for 3 years in political science department.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first teaching experience. I was 25, 26, 27 years old.
Okay.
So I was not much younger than the students at that during that period.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me I was going to be able to teach some of the brightest and smartest and most gifted young women in America, so you better be strong. And so we came and came to be prepared. And she always talked about how her Spelman years and being taught by the Quakers, and how they were and how they had high demands and required a lot of everybody, and how good they were, and that you had to go to what was the cafeteria, and you had to eat a certain way and sit a certain way. Everyone was assigned a certain area to sit. How was that, mother?
Mm-hmm. But that was at Bryn Mawr.
That was at Bryn Mawr.
Uh-huh.
But at Spelman, you told us about the teachers there too. They came from the north to teach.
Yeah.
And how good they were.
They were here because they really wanted us to learn. They really did. And they weren't just looking at some money.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been really, really special for us, Mrs. Clark, and thank you, Dr. Clark, for giving us such wonderful experience. And we'd like to embrace you, Mrs. Clark. Each one of the students would like to embrace you. You're going to get this on